to the stereo in our living room to click the power button before turning the dial to the right station. Nick's laughter filled the living room.
"So, tell us your question for Grandmaster Paz, Nick," the DJ asked.
"All right."
Nick cleared his throat.
"I was calling because I wanted to get your advice on something about my girl."
His girl? Me? What on earth could he possibly want to know from a Compton rapper about me?
"Ask away, Nick. I'll see if I can help." "Well, I was wondering if... how can I convince my girl to have a threesome with me? She isn't into it, but I'd like to change her mind."
My ears started to ring as his words reverberated through my head. What the hell? A threesome? And he was asking this on the radio, where everyone in the general area could hear and was most likely listening? I didn't wait for Dick Master Dickface's response before I pressed the power button again, shutting it off, and started pacing back and forth. My text messages blew up again. "Nice boyfriend. Tell me you heard Nick on the radio." Heat spread throughout my body as I fumed with my embarrassment. How was I supposed to study now, with my idiot boyfriend's question replaying over and over again in my mind? The texts just kept coming, so I shut my phone down in order to save its life, since each new message tempted me to see how hard I could chuck it against the wall. Rachel rushed through the front door minutes later and wrapped me in a hug before I could even say a word. I heard Nick on the radio when I was driving back from class. Frowning, she pulled back to study me. "I'd ask if you heard, but I can tell that you did." "Hell yes, I heard, and I can't stop hearing about it." I pointed at my stupid cell phone.
"Has he ever talked to you about having a threesome before?"
she asked softly, and I bristled. "No, never." I moved back to my seat at the table and sat down. I can't believe he did that. I'm mortified.
Mortified? I'm pissed. I really am going to curse that boy before the year is through,
she threatened, before breaking off into a Spanish-filled rant I didn't understand. "I'm sure I'll be pissed in about an hour. Just give me time to get there." Anger came a lot quicker than I had anticipated. It mixed with the other emotions rolling through me, and within a few seconds, I was so upset I couldn't even see straight. I felt so stupid.
"Are you okay?"
Rachel asked as she sat down in the seat across from mine. Shaking my head, I replied, "Not really. I'm sorry, Jess, this really sucks." I sat there, staring at my homework on the table. Finishing it now was out of the question. Finally, I said, "I think I'm going to go to sleep. No sense staying up when I can't focus on anything other than his stupid voice asking that even stupider question." Rachel got up and headed toward her room. "I understand. Good night."
"Night."
I hated Nick for embarrassing me and for being so disrespectful. I was half tempted to turn my phone back on and call him, but I was still too shocked to think clearly, and I had no idea what I'd say to him other than yell and swear like some psycho girlfriend. Not that he didn't deserve it, he absolutely did, but I wanted to maintain some semblance of self-control. My emotions continued to swing between being pissed off and completely embarrassed, so I climbed into bed and closed my eyes, hoping for a sleep-filled reprieve. I had tossed my cell into a drawer so I wouldn't be tempted to turn it on and use it. Now, as I walked across campus toward my class, I realized that I had left it at home, still turned off. Nick's easily recognizable frame was in the distance, and I watched as he altered his course to head in my direction. Part of me wanted to turn around and run away from him, but I knew he'd only chase after me, and I couldn't avoid him forever. People had already started to slow down as they noticed us heading toward each other like two trains meeting head-on. No doubt they'd heard all about Nick's asshole request last night on the radio. Once he was within a couple of feet, I raised my hand and smacked him across the cheek. Gasps filled the air around me, but I tuned them out, my focus purely on the jerk-off in front of me. When a smirk spread across his face, I lifted my hand to slap him again, my anger only growing. He grabbed my wrist and pinned it to my side.
Calm down, Jess. I squirmed, trying to pull my arm away. Fuck you, I spat, still trying to pull my arm out of his grasp, but it was no use.
Jess, listen to me.
His voice was calm, almost soothing, and I wanted to hate him for his ability to be so in control while I clearly wasn't.
Listen to me,
he repeated, demanding I do as he asked. I glared at him, wishing my eyes had the power to shoot darts so I could pummel him with hundreds of them at once. I hate you, I yelled with as much venom as I could muster so he'd believe it, even if I didn't.
I was just fucking around, he said.
I set my jaw and glared past him, refusing to meet his stupidly perfect blue eyes. One look in them and they'd soften me, and I refused to be anything but tough in this moment. His fingertips touched the bottom of my chin and tilted it up.
Look at me, Jess.
He begged, until my eyes finally found his. What? I'm looking, I said, my tone bitchy and annoyed.
I wasn't being serious. Grandmaster Paz is one of my favorite rappers of all time, and I just wanted to talk to him. I'd called a minute before, and they asked me what I wanted to talk to him about. When I told them something stupid, they hung up on me, so I called back with something better. It's all I could think of that might work.
My heart rate slowed its frantic pace as his words sank in. I relaxed a little as my anger faded. I wanted so badly to believe him.
Seriously?
I asked cautiously, not wanting to believe him if it wasn't true.
I swear, it was just so I could talk to him. I didn't mean it.
He shifted his weight.
I mean, unless you wanted to,
he suggested with a slight laugh, and I socked him in the shoulder as hard as I could. He threw his hands up in surrender.
Joking, Jess, still joking. Stop hitting me.
A small smile took over my lips before I could stop it, and I felt myself leaning into him, the comfort of his body no longer something I wanted to resist. I believed him. Nick's arms circled me as he pulled me against him and kissed the top of my head.
You would have known all of this already if you'd answered any of my calls last night or read my text messages.
Yeah, well, I was too pissed.
Because you're stubborn.
Maybe a little. I had never wondered if I was stubborn or not, but in this moment I knew Nick was right. But come on, put yourself in my shoes. He gave me a big grin.
My girlfriend wants to have a threesome? I'm in.
You're a pig, I blurted, pulling away from him.
I'm a guy, he said with a shrug.
I glanced around at the students still gathered around us, watching us with intense stares. Moving my mouth to his ear, I whispered, all those people heard you last night. And if they didn't hear you themselves, they heard from their friends. They all know what you said. You made me look like an idiot, and right now, they're all standing there judging me, thinking I'm stupid for forgiving you. I focused on his mouth as I waited for a response, not wanting to see the glares being cast my way by all those who didn't understand what had happened in the last 90 seconds. Nick looked around at the crowd before clearing his throat.
Morning, everyone. I'm sure by now you all heard me on the radio last night.
He paused when a few guys started cheering and hollering and held a hand in the air for them to stop.
I've pretty much worshipped GMP since I was a kid, and I just wanted to talk to him. I didn't mean what I said, so you can all stop judging Jess right now for still being with me. It was a fucking joke. This is the first and last time I'll ever address my relationship with any of you, but I wanted to clear the air.
He looked down at me with a sincere smile.
For her sake. Now leave us the fuck alone.
My insides were on fire at the combination of Nick's declaration and my embarrassment at being the center of attention.
All better.
He gripped my waist and pulled me against him before lowering his lips to mine and kissing me in full view of anyone who was still around to watch. I groaned against his mouth. Thanks for that. Nick smirked as he moved away slowly.
Anything for you. What time are you done with class?
2 hours.
I'll pick you up after.
He branded me with his lips one more time before heading in the opposite direction. You'd think I'd be used to him doing things like that by now,
but the guy constantly left me dumbfounded and struggling to breathe. How could I go from such lows to such extreme highs so quickly? This relationship was exhausting at times, but so worth it.
Hopeless, Nick. Never in all my 21 years had I created the kind of spectacle that I did this morning with Jess. At least, not to my knowledge. And I never would have given that sort of speech for any other girl besides her. My feelings for Jess grew every day. I was finding it harder and harder to keep them in check, but I needed to. Falling for someone wasn't part of the plan. My father would probably go into cardiac arrest if he knew about her. His romantic plans for me had always included the daughter of a wealthy business partner. Love didn't factor into the equation, as he'd told me on more than one occasion. Love doesn't pay the bills, son, and it fades. You need a nurturer, someone who wants to take care of you, focuses on you, and gives you everything you need to succeed in business. In the end, it's what you've built that matters. And if you happen to find some sort of love along the way, kudos to you. I was convinced the guy had no heart, that all he cared about was money, and whatever got him more of it was all that drove him. He didn't care who he hurt in the process, including me. When my father looked at me, all he saw was more ways to grow his empire. I'd never heard him give similar advice to Frank or Ryan when it came to their love lives, but apparently everything was different when it came to me. I could tell that Mom hated the way Dad tried to control me, but she never once stood up for me. Instead, she allowed him to set rules, restrictions, and parameters for my life, always sitting on the sidelines with her glass full. No matter how much my mom might end up loving Jess, and I knew she would absolutely adore her, it wouldn't matter. Jess wasn't wealthy, didn't come from a prestigious enough background. She was unsuitable. No, my parents would both force me to end things, and it was the last thing I wanted to do. But right now, while I still had time before I graduated and started working for my old man, I planned to enjoy every second with Jess. I knew she thought that I'd grow tired of her the way I did all the other girls, but she had no idea how different she was from them. She was so normal, so fun. The girls I'd dated in the past reminded me too much of what my future was supposed to hold for me. All spoiled, entitled females who were used to being treated like princesses, or girls who never got enough attention from their daddy and were desperately aching to fill that void. It took me a few years to notice the pattern I had been setting for myself subconsciously. But once I realized what I was doing, I'd stopped. Which was why I was single when I did meet Jess, and why she made me feel things I'd never felt in my life, never been allowed to feel. It was also why I'd do anything for the girl, including apologizing on her behalf to the whole damn student body if I needed to. I'd make a fool of myself if it meant she'd forgive me. I started laughing when I thought about Jess slapping me. No girl had ever hit me before. I deserved it, for sure, but it had been worth it. Talking to Grandmaster Paz was one of the greatest fucking moments in my life, and I'd do it all over again.
Apology accepted. Jess. Nick was waiting for me in the parking lot as I walked through it heading toward my apartment. I spotted him sitting in his black truck before he noticed me. When I knocked on the driver's side window, he startled before opening the door.
Scared the shit out of me, Michelson.
Parking lots are super dangerous in the daytime, I teased. He smacked my butt as I walked away.
I'm starving. Please tell me you're hungry.
I glanced back at him. I could definitely eat. After turning the handle and finding it locked, I fished my keys from the bottom of my bag. I unlocked the door and tossed my stuff on the counter as Rachel came out of her room. You're home? She looked around. Obviously.
Laughing, I said, "The door was locked, so I just assumed you weren't here." Rachel sat on the couch as I passed by her. "I'll be right back," I said to both my roommate and my boyfriend, before running into my room to change clothes. "So, Nick," I heard Rachel say, "I heard all about your epic speech today, addressing the crowd. Nice touch." I tossed on a clean top and headed back out as Rachel gave me a wink, followed by a pointed look that said she needed to hear all the details. Nick wrapped an arm around my waist.
"Yeah, well, didn't want people thinking Jess was a..."
He turned me around so that I faced him.
"What did you say, babe? An idiot?"
I laughed, nodding in agreement.
"Yeah, I didn't want anyone to think Jess was an idiot for staying with me, but she got a good hit in there first," he said, rubbing his cheek.
"I heard about that, too. The slap heard around campus." Rachel covered her open mouth with a hand dramatically. "I'm shocked at your unladylike behavior, Jess." I shrugged. "Hey, I never claimed to be a lady."
"I'll say,"
Nick said, still rubbing his cheek. I shoved at him. "All right, we're going to get something to eat, and then I'll be back, I think." I glanced at Nick, not knowing what he had planned.
"She'll be back later. Much later."
He smiled before moving to give Rachel a quick hug goodbye. "Don't do anything I wouldn't do," she shouted as we neared the door. "That's not very limiting, Rach," I shouted back as I stepped outside. When we pulled into the nearly full parking lot of a local Italian restaurant, known for having the best pizza and pasta in town, Nick glanced at me.
"You like Italian, yeah?"
I smiled. "What if I said no?"
"I think part of me might die. Jess, this place is the best."
"I know it is. I love it here. The gnocchi." I moaned like I was in heaven before kissing my fingertips and lifting them toward the sky.
"Don't moan like that unless I'm underneath you, or on top of you, or kissing you, or touching you,"
he said, his gaze lingering on my mouth. "I can't help what good gnocchi does to me." I licked my lips.
"You're trying to kill me,"
he said, before hopping out of his truck. When I turned to get out, he said,
"Stay put."
So I stopped and waited as he opened my door and extended a hand to help me down. Such a simple thing, but it meant a lot to me. Guys didn't do that kind of thing anymore. Those small gestures mattered. They truly did. We held hands as we entered through the red and white checkered door, and once we were seated in a booth, it was as if no one else existed but the two of us. Nick had a way of making you feel like you were the most important person in the room. When his attention was focused on you, you felt invincible, larger than life, and important.
"I'm really sorry again about last night," he said.
I cringed a little, wanting to forget the radio bit that I'd heard. "I know. God, I was so pissed."
"I know."
He pointed at his cheek.
"Aren't you going to apologize for striking me?"
I laughed. "Striking you? No, you deserved it." His jaw fell open.
"Deserved it?"
He started to say something else, but then stopped and shrugged one shoulder.
"You're right."
"I'm sorry, what did you say?" I smiled and leaned toward him, cupping my ear. "Could you repeat that, please?"
"You heard me the first time, woman."
He leaned away from me, his eyes narrowed playfully. "No, I don't think I did."
"I said you were right,"
he mumbled, looking toward the floor as I laughed. The waiter greeted us, took our drink orders, and informed us of the specials that evening. Every word he spoke made me want to drool, but somehow I refrained. I loved food, and Italian was my weakness. After dinner, Nick reached across the table to cup my cheek. My eyes closed automatically at his touch. I tilted my face against his fingers, loving the strength and warmth they brought.
"Let's get out of here,"
he whispered. My eyes flew open. "Your place or mine?"
"Mine."
His response was quick, too quick, which caused me to panic. Nick lived in a fraternity house where anything any of them did quickly became public knowledge. I didn't want whatever was about to happen to be something that a bunch of guys I didn't know talked about behind my back. "But you live at a frat house," I said, trying to backpedal, with like 100 guys. He barked out a laugh.
And?
It's embarrassing, I admitted.
What is?
He cocked his head to the side, his blue eyes boring into mine. There's not really any privacy.
Jess, I have my own room. No one will be around, and I'll hurt anyone who makes you feel uncomfortable.
Nerve shot through me. I knew what this meant, going to his room, to his house. We hadn't gone that far yet, but after all the emotions and stupid things we'd been through already, I couldn't say that I wasn't amped up or unwilling to solidify our connection. Nick's room had a back entrance, so no one even saw us going in, aside from the 2 guys who were playing some sort of drinking game on the front lawn. I'd been in Nick's room before, but never with the silent anticipation of what was to come. We both knew it, but neither of us addressed it. Then he shocked me by pulling out 2 candles from somewhere in his closet and lighting them. I couldn't help but wonder how often he'd done that for a girl.
Stop, Jess, he said, interrupting my thoughts.
What? I sat gingerly on the edge of his bed as he placed 1 candle on his dresser and the other on the nightstand near me.
Stop thinking about who else has been in this room or who else I've been with. Your emotions are written all over your face.
How the hell did he read me so well? Was I that transparent? It was just the candles. They're a nice touch, I admitted.
I bought them the other day. For you. For us. I don't pull them out for every girl who comes along, okay?
My breathing hitched. Okay. Was all I could find the strength to say in response.
Do you believe me?
Yes. I answered without hesitation. I wanted to rush, my need and want for him overtaking every single one of my senses. In all my fantasies, Nick and I had ripped each other's clothes off and scattered them on the floor in our haste to taste each other as quickly as possible. But the reality was so much better than anything my mind could cook up. Where I was inexperienced, he was more skilled. He refused to let me do anything without his help, and he implored me to take my time, all the while constantly reminding me to slow down. My clothes left my body a single item at a time, as did his. Neither of us removed anything without the other's help, and each time a piece of my clothing was dropped to the floor, his eyes lit up like he'd never seen anything like me before. He stared in awe and appreciation. I'd never felt that way naked with a guy before. It was empowering.
You're beautiful. So fucking beautiful. Do you know that?
As he kissed my exposed skin, I wondered how he'd gotten so good at this. Having sex was one thing, but being romantic about it was altogether different. The mere touch of his fingertips across my stomach sent flutters shooting through every nerve ending in my body. I'd had sex with other guys before, but they were nothing compared to this. They seemed so immature, such a waste of time. Because this was something I'd been missing out on. Once we were both naked, Nick pulled me onto the bed and settled next to me. His fingers tangled in my hair as he kissed me slow and deep as if he didn't want to stop. Each time our tongues touched, both chills and heat raced down my body. It was a blissful contradiction, all the feelings crashing into one another. I never wanted it to end. He positioned himself above me, our skin touching in all the places the clothes had just covered. When I felt the tip of him near my entrance, I stopped him, closing my mouth to end our kiss. I'm not on the pill.
That's why I put this on, he said, motioning toward the condom covering him.
When did you do that? I asked, shocked that I had absolutely no idea when the hell he'd slipped that on.
2 seconds ago.
He smiled and leaned back down to kiss me.
Can I continue?
Nervous, I smiled back. Yes. I braced for him, not knowing at all how he would feel inside me. But like with everything else this evening, he took his time, clearly savoring every moment between us. He pushed inside me with care, moving inch by inch before giving 1 last thrust. I threw my head back, a moan escaping my lips at the feel of him. No longer concerned with how many guys were in the house or if they could hear me, my only thoughts were of Nick and this moment. The way he felt when he was inside me, I'd shout it from the rooftops when we finished. His hips moved back and forth, and I rocked against him, trying to find our rhythm. The way our bodies moved together was like a perfectly timed slow dance. In the past, sex had been awkward. I had been uncomfortable and self-conscious, worried that I wasn't good enough or pretty enough. But not with Nick. Nick made me feel sexy, made me feel wanted, and the way our bodies fit together felt right.
"You feel amazing. You're so perfect,"
he mumbled against my neck, pressing his lips to my skin after each declaration. "You feel so good, too. Don't stop," I moaned, my lips parting as his mouth neared. When his tongue entered my mouth, I squeezed my eyes shut at the touch, the taste, the sensation overload. His hips moved faster, pushing and pulling in and out of me, and I sensed he was close. I lifted my hips and rubbed against him as he moved, each thrust hitting that perfect spot in me. My own orgasm started to build, and I knew it wouldn't be much longer for me either. Two more pumps, and I arched my back, pleasure ripping through every part of me until I trembled with the aftermath and realized that Nick had almost slowed to a stop. I opened my eyes to find him watching me, his mouth open slightly.
"You're so fucking gorgeous, Jess. Everything about you."
Nick leaned down and claimed my mouth with his, nibbling on my bottom lip. He kissed me like he owned me as he began moving inside me once more. It all felt so good, like he was made just for me. His body tensed and then quaked and jerked as he came inside me. Between my legs, I felt him pulse and throb as I continued to rock gently against him. He sucked in a breath and collapsed on top of me, the weight of his body almost too much, and I let out a quick oof.
"You okay?"
"No," I huffed out. "I'm dead." He pushed up onto his elbows and pressed his lips to mine.
"That was amazing."
I nodded in complete agreement. It was. It was so much more than amazing, but I couldn't find another word.
"I had planned on waiting until formal, but something about tonight just seemed right."
His breathing still erratic, he moved off of me and lay on his back, peeling the condom off and then disposing of it in a trash can next to the bed. "Tonight was perfect." I lay my head on his chest and listened to the sound of his heartbeat as he ran his fingers through my hair.
"You're not mad we didn't wait?"
His body tensed as he pulled back to look at me. I tilted my head. "Yes, I'm really upset that you just gave me the best sex of my life. Horribly upset."
"The best sex of your life?"
"I just want you to feel good about yourself," I said with a laugh as I came down from my post-sex high.
"I have you in my arms. I feel fucking great about me."
My heart grew two sizes bigger in that moment because Nick Fisher. I knew that nothing would ever be the same again. Formal, Jess. Nick and I had definitely grown closer since having sex. As much as most people tried to claim that it didn't change anything, I knew with complete certainty now that they were full of shit. Having sex changed everything. It made my feelings for Nick grow tenfold. There was something vulnerable about being completely naked with another person and letting them inside you. We had connected in the most intimate of ways that you could never take back. It was as if we had a secret bond, an invisible string that tethered us to each other and only grew stronger. I knew I cared about Nick before having sex with him, but now it all felt like so much more. Sex with him made my emotions swell, and everyone seemed to know the minute it happened between us, like I'd sprouted a giant flashing neon sign on my forehead that read, "I gave it up to Nick Fisher." Maybe it was the way he held me now, tighter, or the way we stood when we were around each other, closer. Everything between us was simply intensified. There was more affection, more touching, more intimacy in every interaction. We gave our own selves away without even trying. I was falling in love with him, even though I wasn't sure that I should. My mind cautioned me to slow down whenever Nick came near, but my heart sped up at the sight of him. My mind flashed warning signals with his touch, but my heart grew wings and flapped like a wild bird begging for more. My mind sounded alarms any time it thought I might be falling too fast, but my heart tumbled over the edge without question. That was the thing about falling in love. It couldn't really be helped or stopped. It wasn't like my mind could talk itself out of the things that my heart decided to beat for, and it had definitely started beating for Nick Fisher. I liked the way it felt. If my heart wanted to fall in love with him, I was going to let it. My mind be damned. The only formal affair I'd ever attended was my senior prom, and even though Rachel had filled me in, I still had no idea what to expect when it came to a fraternity formal. Thank God she was going to be there with Trevor. At least I'd know someone other than Nick at this event. Nick told me that most of the guys brought girls from sororities as their dates, so there wouldn't be a lot of non-Greeks there. Remembering what Rachel had said, I hoped that the night wouldn't be awkward or uncomfortable. It was hard enough being Nick's girlfriend sometimes. I didn't need the extra crap from girls I didn't know at my first formal event on Nick's arm. First? Wishful thinking, Jess. We arrived at the hotel and checked into our room. Nick had booked a suite for a group of us, so it was party central in our place. I didn't mind, but I had thought that we'd get some alone time together. Now I wasn't sure that was even a possibility with the current state of the place. This place is awesome! Rachel shouted from the full-sized bar in the corner of the room as she poured some shots. So does everyone get ready in here? I asked as I surveyed the number of people in our room. Nick leaned toward me, his lips close to my ear.
Yes, Miss Michelson, but we have our own bathroom. You won't have to share it with anyone unless you want to.
I smiled at the way he seemed to think of the small details before I had even considered them. Nick's thoughtfulness was something that made me feel special.
Except for me. You have to share with me.
He winked before wrapping a strong arm around me.
And after we get changed, we'll take pictures and head out.
Take pictures? I asked, getting lost momentarily in the depths of his blue eyes.
Hell yeah. If you think I'm not documenting this evening, you're crazy.
He said, before planting a kiss on my forehead.
Go get ready.
He smacked my ass and sent me in the direction of our room. Rachel, come get ready with me! I yelled over the music that was now blaring from someone's travel speaker. Be there in a minute! She shouted back, then downed another shot. Rachel and I took over the bedroom and hogged the bathroom, forcing Nick to change in another bedroom with Trevor. Rachel helped curl my hair into beach-like waves that fell loose over my shoulders, but her normally wavy long dark hair had been straightened. I had to smile at the sight of us in the bathroom mirror. Each of us had done the opposite of our normal styles. Thanks so much for your help. Of course. Your hair looks pretty like this. She reached for a few strands and ran her fingers through them, making the waves even looser. My dress is in my room with Trevor. I'll just change in there, she said, and gave me a hug before walking away. Outside my room, I heard her tell Nick that he couldn't go inside, that I wasn't done yet, and would come out when I was ready. I laughed to myself as I put the finishing touches on my makeup. The smoky eyeshadow made the blue in my eyes stand out even more, and the contouring I'd done on my face pronounced my usually undefined cheekbones. I finished the look with a practically nude lip and smiled at my reflection. Reaching for my dress hanging in the small closet, I pulled it off the hanger and stepped into the black and white fabric. The top was fitted, hugging every one of my curves until it reached my hips and flared out slightly, stopping short well above my knees. After one last spritz of hairspray, I headed toward the closed bedroom door and pulled it open. Nick happened to be standing right outside of it, and when he turned to face me, his jaw immediately fell open.
Jess.
He scanned me from head to toe.
You look beautiful.
My cheeks burned as I gave him a once-over, approving of his black and gray suit. Thank you. You look gorgeous. When my gaze settled on his dark hair, I said with a wink, but I do miss the hat.
You do not. Do you really?
Kinda. I shrugged. Nick was hot as hell, but something about him in a baseball hat really worked for him.
Can I wear it? My hat?
He sounded almost timid, like I might yell at him for even suggesting such a thing. I don't care. Why not? His face lit up like a little kid who'd just been told he could have a puppy. It was just a fraternity formal in college. It wasn't like we were going to an event at the White House. Who cared if he wore a baseball hat or not? Certainly not me.
You're the best damn girlfriend in the world,
he said before kissing my cheek and disappearing into our room. He walked back out a second later, wearing his black baseball hat turned backward. I smiled. You look even hotter now. And he did.
No other girl would ever let me wear a hat to a formal. I fucking love you,
he said. And we both froze as his words sank in.
You know what I mean.
I averted my eyes, pretending my heart hadn't just soared out of my chest and was currently playing hopscotch in the clouds. I know what you meant, I said, biting my lip to keep the dopey smile off my face as I tried to rein my heart back down from the sky. Nick gathered our group and we headed downstairs. We took a ton of pictures in the courtyard of the hotel, surrounded by lush flowers and green shrubbery. I was secretly thrilled at the idea of having pictures like this with Nick. His arm was tight around my waist, pulling me close against him at all times.
Let's eat,
Trevor announced in a loud voice, then reached for Rachel and tugged her toward the double doors.
Guess we're done taking pictures,
Nick said with a laugh as he took my hand. The ballroom where the event was being held was decorated like for prom, but with less fanfare. A DJ was set up in one corner, spinning tunes in the background that were pretty low-key. The round tables were covered with dark blue cloths, with centerpieces of multiple ivory candles in various heights. The decor was elegant in its simplicity. Nick and I took our time wandering through. When we reached our table a few moments later, I was thankful to see Rachel and Trevor already seated, eating salads. Guess he really was hungry, I whispered to Nick, motioning toward Trevor.
Never stand between a man and his stomach.
Good tip. Nick pulled out a chair for me next to Rachel, and I smoothed the back of my dress as I sat down. Thank you. He leaned down and placed a soft kiss on the side of my head before sitting to my left and placing his napkin in his lap. Glancing around at the rest of our table, I might not have known anyone else by name, but I recognized the evil eye when I saw it. And boy, was I seeing it. The girl across the table kept staring at me through a narrowed gaze, her upper lip forming a snarl every so often. I would have bet money that I'd never seen her before now, but I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a little unsettling. The last two empty seats at our table filled, as my stomach instantly dropped. Carla Crawford, the girl Nick's dad had asked him to take out, took the empty chair on the other side of Nick. I tried to control the pangs of jealousy that worked their way through me, but she was so striking that I couldn't help but compare her long list of beautiful features to my much shorter one. Her naturally tanned arms enveloped Nick's neck in a tight hug as her exotic almond-shaped eyes met mine over his shoulder. I tried to give her a small smile, but an evil grin appeared on her face before she touched the scruff on Nick's jaw and leaned in toward him. Nick pulled away, removed her hand from his face, and then turned his back on her and his attention toward me.
I didn't know she would be here. Sorry about that,
he said in a low voice. I softened, my jealousy flitting away as he leaned in to kiss my lips. My eyes closed at his touch, and everyone else in the room disappeared.
You okay?
Nick asked when he broke the kiss. I nodded. I just think I might hate her, I whispered, and he laughed.
No need.
He reassured me before forking a bite of Caesar salad and feeding it to me. You two are gross, Rachel said with a frown. I gave her the evil eye. You're gross. I shot back like a 5-year-old with no other response. She widened her eyes meaningfully and leaned toward me. I'm not the one sitting here being fed by my boyfriend while the rest of the girls at the table plot my murder. I choked on the anchovy dressing. Or maybe it was Rachel's words, but I reached for my water and gulped half of it down. They are, right? It's not just my imagination. Oh, they hate you, since the moment you sat down, she said with a nod. Cool. I got your back. She grabbed a butter knife and mimicked stabbing someone with it. I reached for the unsharpened knife and placed it on the table in front of her. Let's just leave that here, I said as I patted the table. I'm just saying, don't fuck with my girl is all. Then she launched into a tirade of rapid Spanish. I assumed it was a tirade based on her tone of voice, but I had no idea what she was actually saying. Right after I ate the last bite of my grilled chicken, Nick hopped out of his chair like something bit him. He grabbed my hand so hard that it shocked me.
Dance with me,
he said, before yanking me out onto the otherwise empty dance space. Whistles and hoots came from everyone before a few brave couples decided to join us, their bodies moving slowly with the music. Are you okay? What was that?
Carla grabbed my dick under the table,
he said against my ear. Enraged, I pulled back, my fists clenched. She what? I looked back, but her seat was empty. Scanning the rest of the space, I saw her at the opposite end of the ballroom and moved to head toward her, but Nick tugged at my hand, forcing me to stop.
Don't. She's not worth it, and she'll make your life hell. Trust me.
That's rude and disrespectful. Who does that? I all but shouted at him, not wanting to create a scene, even though I was seething.
She's just jealous.
Nick rolled his eyes and shrugged, downplaying it as if this sort of thing happened to him all the time. Jealous? Of me? I scoffed. Does she own a mirror? Nick's hand cupped my cheek.
You're 1,000 times more beautiful than she is, in every way. Carla's not a nice person, Jess, and she doesn't like to lose. She's not used to it.
His tone was so soothing, so calming, that I almost forgot the whole thing had just happened. Almost. Don't let another girl touch you like that. I don't care who she is. Smack her hand. Do something.
I did. I jumped up and reached for you,
he said, as if that was enough. Was it? Why did girls have to behave like this around my boyfriend? Why did girls behave like this at all? This is ridiculous, I said, unable to hide my annoyance. He tilted my chin and leaned in, giving me a sweet, soft kiss.
Don't let it ruin our night.
I melted with his touch and looked into his blue eyes. I want to punch her in her stupid face. He laughed.
I know you do, and it's adorable.
It's not adorable, it's tough. And gangster, I'll cut a bitch, I said, trying to channel Rachel, but I sounded silly instead. Nick laughed again as he held me close, our bodies moving in perfect rhythm, not only to the music, but to each other. Even our breathing was perfectly timed. Nothing felt the same as it did when I was in Nick's embrace. I need a drink. You want something? I asked, pulling out of his arms. He placed his hands on my shoulders to steady me.
I'll get us drinks. You wait right here. What would you like?
I briefly considered a vodka with Red Bull, but cast that aside when I remembered Rachel once saying that everyone who drank that concoction ended up smelling like cedar chips from mouse cages. The last thing I wanted was to smell like a mouse cage for the rest of the night, so I opted for the next best thing. I'll just take a beer. When Nick turned away, I called out, a light beer.
Such a girl,
he teased before walking away. You're just temporary, you know, a shrill voice said, tearing a hole straight through my happy bubble. I turned to face Carla, who stood a few inches taller than me, and made sure I knew it by the way she looked down on me. As opposed to what? I shot back. She sneered. As opposed to what I am. I rolled my eyes, shifting my weight in an attempt to appear uninterested. Which is his future. Do you think for one second that his dad would let him end up with someone like you? A girl whose parents own a deli in the valley? She said the words deli and valley like they were laced with poison. I was fighting the urge to claw her fucking eyes out when it hit me that she'd done her research on me. Someone was obviously threatened, whether she acted like it or not. Unlike you, I'm not trying to marry Nick. She forced out a laugh. It doesn't matter anyway, that would never happen. You won't last, and you won't be around for long. Nick will eventually get bored with a girl like you, if he's not already. She cast a glance in his direction. And I'll be right here waiting. I always get what I want, sweetheart. She said with a small shrug and a smirk. Always. I glanced at Nick, whose eyes locked onto mine and then widened when he realized who I was talking to. He quickly grabbed the two bottles of beer and hurried in our direction. I turned to Carla. Not sure why you want someone who doesn't even like you, but goals? I used my fingers for air quotes. You really think that he doesn't like me? That our fathers haven't been planning this union for years? She let out another evil-sounding laugh. Nick won't have a choice in the matter, and either will you. She informed me before stalking away. Nick won't have a choice in the matter. Her words rang in my ears as my stomach rolled.
Jess, are you okay? You're pale. What the hell did she say to you?
Nick stepped in front of me, forcing my eyes to focus on his. Rachel came up next to me and planted her hands on her hips. What the hell was that?
Nothing,
I said. Doesn't look like nothing. You're shaking, Jess. Rachel looked around the room. You want me to go kick her puta ass? Smiling, I looked over at my roommate. No, she'd probably sue you. Rachel let out a sound somewhere between a frustrated scream and a growl. You're right. I hate her, Nick. How are you friends with her?
I'm not, he said.
Good. Rachel gave him a hard look before heading back to Trevor. I swallowed hard. Let's dance. I forced a smile as I grabbed my beer from his hand.
Do you want me to go talk to her?
His voice was tight with anger as he scanned the room, searching for Carla.
I'll tell her to never speak to you again, to not even look in your direction.
I reached for his arm and squeezed. She's not worth it, remember? I exhaled before taking a long drink, loving the way he was protective over me.
As long as you're sure you're all right.
I'm fine, I promised as I pulled him back onto the dance floor, holding him close to me as the music moved us. The rest of the night was uneventful and, dare I say it, a bit boring. A bunch of guys you'd normally see acting carefree and crazy at a party were suddenly all dressed up and on their somewhat best behavior. To be honest, I'd take the regular old frat party over this stuffy formal stuff any day.
Had enough?
Nick whispered into my ear before kissing my neck. Yes.
Good.
He replied before pulling me out of the ballroom without so much as a word to the people who still remained at the party.
A better man, Nick. I'd wanted the night of formal to be when Jess and I had sex for the first time. But with all the drama over the radio interview and the scene at school, things got intense, and one thing had led to another. So by the time formal rolled around, we'd already done the deed. Jess was different. She made me want things between us to be special. I actually cared about her feelings because I knew they were genuine. Maybe it was because of what happened at the frat party that one night, seeing her so vulnerable and scared. It sort of fucked me up for a while, to be honest, although I never admitted that to her, or to anyone other than my older brothers. Before I knew it, I was falling in love with Jess. I think the spark was ignited the day I first talked to her in class. But now that spark was a blazing inferno that I couldn't imagine putting out. Something had been building between us, and the timing felt right after our restaurant date that night. And thank God for that, because looking at the scene in front of me now, I was glad we hadn't waited. If we'd waited for tonight, our first time wouldn't have been special or romantic at all. It would have been a shit show, and I would have hated myself for it. Three of my fraternity brothers were in the hotel room next to ours, drunk out of their minds and shouting so loud it was like they were in the room with us. And when Jess and I walked through the front door of our suite after formal, one of the guys was screwing his girlfriend up against the wall like Spider-Man. I'd never seen Jess look so horrified as when she hauled ass into our bedroom and slammed the door. I followed quickly behind her as she went into the bathroom to get changed. She turned to me, her eyes huge.
"I can't believe he's just having sex with her and didn't even stop when we walked in," she said through a horrified sort of half-laugh, half-gasp.
I had no idea what to say. We were guys. We did whatever girls let us get away with. I shrugged. Actually, I was more shocked that she didn't stop. Which was more or less the truth, although I knew those two had a reputation for doing it anywhere and everywhere. Another reason I was thankful to have my own master suite in the fraternity house. No one was fucking in my bathroom during our parties unless it was me. "Did you have fun tonight?" I stepped up behind her, standing at the bathroom counter, and put my arms around her. She leaned back against my chest.
"Except for the girl who's lucky she still has a hand, I had a great time. It was different, but I liked it."
"I'm glad." Jess turned around to face me.
"Did you have fun? I know you go to these things all the time, but do they ever get old?"
"Not when I'm with you." I leaned down, my lips grazing hers before I pulled back.
"Don't feed me lines, Nick."
I smiled. This girl was always cutting to the chase. "I'm not. Yeah, they get old, but not tonight. You let me wear a hat. No one has ever let me wear a hat before." I smiled as I grabbed the hat and tossed it off.
"Because you look hot in a hat, it was truly for my benefit."
When she winked at me, I picked her up, setting her ass on top of the bathroom counter.
"Want to go somewhere with me?" I asked, catching her off guard. "Where?"
"I want to take you somewhere. Come with me."
"Of course," she smiled before wrapping her arms around my neck and pulling my mouth to hers.
"You probably want to change out of that dress, though."
I pulled on a pair of jeans and a snug graphic tee, then watched as Jess peeled off her dress and stepped into some skinny jeans and an off-the-shoulder shirt that was sexy as hell.
I opened the passenger door for Jess and helped her into my truck, then drove us towards Santa Monica and my brother's bar. It would still most likely be packed, even though it was almost closing time. The closer we got to Sam's, the more excited I felt. My brothers and I didn't get to spend nearly enough time together when I was growing up, or even now, so I loved visiting them at the bar. The minute I stepped inside, it felt like home. When something resonated so deeply inside you, you knew where you belonged. That's how I felt at Sam's with my family. We got lucky as a car pulled out from in front of the bar just as we pulled up.
"We're seeing your brothers?" Jess asked, her eyes wide with what looked like equal parts awe and concern.
"Yeah, why?"
"They'll love you, Jess." "You could have warned me."
"Why? What would you have done differently?" I turned to study her.
"Nothing. But you know I'm not 21 yet," she frowned. "I don't want them to get in trouble."
I'd already thought ahead, knowing that I wanted to bring her here at some point. Reaching into the center console, I grabbed my wallet and pulled out an ID to hand to her.
"Bettina Fisher from North Carolina," she read the name and state before scowling at me. "You named me after my dog?"
"I thought you'd laugh," I shrugged. "Plus, I knew you wouldn't forget your fake name if it was familiar," I said, hoping she picked up on the fact that I'd given her my last name.
"How'd you get this? It's got my picture and everything."
She studied the ID, turning it over in her hands. "I called in a favor. Come on." I turned off the ignition and stuffed the keys into my front pocket as she closed her fist around the card.
"I've never had a fake ID before," she whispered as we neared the security guard stationed at the front door.
"You're fine," I reassured her.
The security guard smiled as we approached. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Kyle, this is Jess. Jess, Kyle. I introduced the two and watched as she smiled at him, lighting up the whole damn street.
Go on in,
he said with a nod of his head, and I pulled the nondescript door open. The sound of the crowd hit my ears immediately as I scanned the packed space. From the outside, you couldn't tell how many people were inside or what was going on. My brothers both stood behind the bar, Ryan tossing bottles into the air and catching them effortlessly like some movie star while Frank looked on, his face changing from a grimace to a smile every few seconds.
Those are your brothers?
Jess shouted above the noise, her eyes fixed on the two men behind the bar. I couldn't stop the smile from taking over my whole face as I pulled her toward them.
Yep.
I could tell you're related,
she said, and I nodded. My brothers and I definitely looked alike. Frank and I shared the same skin tone and jet black hair, while Ryan and I had the same blue eyes. Other than that, Ryan had sun-bleached hair and a light dusting of freckles that neither Frank nor I had. Frank used to tease Ryan that he was adopted, or that the mailman was his dad. When I was a kid, I didn't know what he meant, but I always laughed anyway. Even with our differences, it was impossible to pretend we weren't related. We resembled one another in build, stature, and mannerisms. Jess looked at my brothers a little more before turning back to me.
You ever think about getting tattoos?
My lips formed a devilish smile. I could feel it on my face.
Yeah, I want them, but didn't think my old man would like it, so I haven't worked up the nerve yet.
Her face twisted a little as she tilted her head.
I don't know. I can't picture you with tattoos like him.
She nodded her head in Frank's direction.